be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus addressed this parable to the Pharisees and the scribes. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. The Gospel of the Lord. It's always struck me as noteworthy that we don't have a feast of Jesus' sacred brain, even though he is the eternal Logos. We don't honor his hallowed hands, which in spite of the calluses from hard work in a hidden Nazarene carpentry shop, brought a tender healing touch to so many. There's no celebration of his consecrated feet, which traversed the ancient Holy Land as he announced the good news from town to town. There's no liturgical observation of Jesus' blessed eyes, which looked on the rich young man with love and were so powerful that at one glance they could make Peter weep in the high priest's courtyard. There's no festival of his venerable voice, which amplified the word of God made man. Well, there would be a certain fittingness to honoring all these parts of Jesus' sacred anatomy, especially because his head was crowned with thorns, his hands and his feet pierced by nails, his eyes bruised and beaten, and his voice thoroughly parched on Good Friday out of love for us. Jesus has never asked that we do so. Rather, when he began to appear to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in 1673, he did so to request that a feast be instituted to honor him under the image and the reality of his sacred heart. The Lord's reason for choosing his heart will always remain, in some ways, a great and beautiful mystery. But even with our limited human intellects, we can come up with at least two partial explanations why it was fitting. First, according to the language and imagery of the Bible, the heart has always been considered the center of the person, the place where reason, will, and emotions converge, the locus where one finds his inner unity and direction. To honor Jesus' heart means we give homage to his entire sacred humanity, conscious that Jesus took our own nature in order to offer it for us, to redeem it, and make it the sacred dwelling place of God once again. To honor his heart means that we want our humanity to be transformed by his, so that we may come fully alive. And as St. Irenaeus taught us in the second century, we might thereby give God glory. Second reason why it's fitting is that the heart is the organ that most effectively symbolizes love. To adore Jesus' heart is to venerate his great love for us. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary, he exposed his heart, and she saw it engulfed in flames, a sign that he burns with love for us. Twice during the Last Supper, Jesus said that he loves us just as the Father loves him. And just like the Father's love for him, Jesus' love for us has no limit. Jesus himself revealed this to St. Margaret Mary when she saw his exposed, ardent heart surrounded by a crown of thorns. No one has any greater love, Jesus said, than to lay down his life for his friends. And the crown of thorns, united in the midst of flames, is a sign of just how much suffering Jesus' love for us made him willing to bear. It's why, in general, we celebrate the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart. It's a celebration of the Incarnation, that Jesus took on all our humanity to divinize it. But it's also, in a special way, the celebration of the length and the depth of His extraordinary love for us. But this year's celebration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus is unique for a couple of reasons. First, it's the first solemnity ever held within a Jubilee of Mercy in the Church, which puts the truths we mark on this feast into greater relief. And second, it's unique because it's occurring within our pilgrimage to Rome that's meant to influence our pilgrimage through life to the celestial Jerusalem. And it's worthwhile for us to pray about both of these connections which make this year's solemnity special. Let's first talk about the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart within the extraordinary Jubilee of Mercy. Sacred Heart is a mystery of God's desire for us to receive His merciful love. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary to reveal the meaning of His Sacred Heart that He wished for her to bring to the world, He showed that His heart burns with the desire to share the full depth of His love with us and is wounded when we fail to allow Him to do so. On December 27, 1673, Jesus said to Margaret Mary in the convent of Paray-le-Monial, France, "My divine heart is so passionately fond of the human race, and of you in particular, that it cannot keep back the pent-up flames of its burning charity any longer. They must burst out through you and reveal my heart to the world, so as to enrich mankind with its most precious treasures." This is the first point. Jesus loves us, and He can't keep that love hidden. He said during the Last Supper, "Just as the Father loves me, so I love you." One of the reasons why He appeared to St. Margaret Mary at that point in France is that the reception of His love had grown cold. He wanted to ignite it anew. But at the same time, still today, most of us don't allow Jesus to love us to the depth at which He wants to love us. He said to St. Margaret Mary, "Behold the heart, which has so much loved men, that it spared nothing, even exhausting and consuming itself in testimony of its love. Instead of gratitude, however, I receive from most only indifference, irreverence, coldness, sacrilege, and scorn that men have for me in the sacrament of love." Jesus wants to transform us in such a way that rather than responding to His fiery mercy with indifference, He wants us to make Him and that merciful love the biggest difference in our life. Rather than responding with irreverence, He wants us to react with supreme reverence and devotion. Rather than with sacrilege, He wants sanctity. Rather than coldness, ardor. Rather than scorn, praise. Today is a day in which we turn to the Lord and ask Him for the help to make His love the biggest reality of our life, to revere Him loving us in this way, to grasp that this is the path to sanctity, to respond with passion, and to never stop praising Him. That's what this year of mercy is meant to bring about. God never tires of forgiving us, as Pope Francis never tires of saying. But so often we tire of allowing Him to love us in this merciful way. Pope Francis prayed yet again today, may we never tire of allowing God to do what He never tires to do. The second difference about this year's solemnity is that the second point about the Lord's love and mercy that he wants to become a reality for us today, is that we have to convert more and more to that great gift. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God had prophesied, "I will give you a new heart." When St. John Paul II went to where Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Paray-le-Monial, France, in 1986, he focused on how each of us needs to allow the Lord to do for us what he did for her. He said, "The heart, which was created in order to be the place of the Lord's love, became the central place of the refusal of God, of the sin of the human person, which turned himself away from God in order to attach himself to all types of idols." It's in that way that we can say the heart has become impure. But when the same interior space of the human person opens itself to God, it finds anew the purity of the image and the likeness imprinted in him by the Creator since the beginning of time. And he continued by saying that we all need a conversion of heart to the Lord's heart. The heart, that is, this central foyer of conversion that God desires on the part of man and for man, in order to enter into his intimacy in his love, this is where a miracle is meant to take place. In Margaret Mary's life, Jesus showed this conversion of heart by a mystical experience. She felt him in December of 1673. Reach into her breast, mystically remove her heart, bathe it in the furnace of his own heart, melting away all impurities, and placing that heart again within her in such a way that she could feel an extraordinary difference. And in the autopsy done after death, we saw huge scarring. She always bore, in a sense, that wound. In today's second reading, St. Paul said that God wants to pour his love into our hearts in a similar way. He wants to give each of us a heart transplant. As we sang in the gospel, he wants each of us to yoke ourselves to him so that in that way we can learn his humility and meekness, which always show themselves in mercy. It's time for us to allow the merciful divine physician to do that type of heart surgery and not to refuse any longer. The second thing that makes this solemnity different is the fact that we're marking it along our pilgrimage. And all of the readings today show that there is a double pilgrimage that is made that is meant to turn into a pilgrimage in tandem. The first pilgrimage that is made is Jesus' pilgrimage toward us. He left the Father's bosom, took on our nature, entered into our world to hunt us down. Jesus says in the Gospel that whenever we were lost, he left the crowd in order to come in search of us. He rescues us, as Ezekiel tells us in today's first reading, from every place they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. He seeks to bring us back to where we belong. He seeks us out where we don't know when we're going, brings back the strayed, binds up the injured, heals the sick. In the psalm, the most famous and beautiful of all the psalms, we pray how he leads us to verdant pastures, brings us to restful waters, guides us in right paths, and is at our side whenever we walk through dark valleys. And all of us know what those valleys look like. The Lord Jesus enters with his merciful love on pilgrimage. And he wants to turn our life around. He wants, from that encounter with his mercy, to lead us on a pilgrimage, not just toward the celestial Jerusalem, but to go out with his mercy, similarly to seek out lost sheep, and become his instruments so that others may encounter him and join us on that pilgrimage home. That's what he wishes to do. The Solemnity of the Sacred Heart has always taken on a particularly Eucharistic character because it's here in the Eucharist where we meet Christ in all his mercy, where he leads us here so that we can go out in peace, glorifying the Lord with our life, to spur us on that lifelong pilgrimage. When Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary in 1675, he connected the dots between the mystery of his Sacred Heart and the celebration of the Mass. He told her that he wanted this feast to be celebrated relative to Corpus Christi on the Friday of the octave, the eight-day celebration of the Lord's body and blood. He called the Eucharist to St. Margaret Mary the Sacramentum Caritatis, the sacrament of his love, the continued instantiation of his Sacred Heart, the incarnation of his mercy. He asked each of us through her to make communions of consolation and reparation on First Fridays, in a holy hour of prayer on a Thursday evening, in memory of the events of Holy Thursday, when he gave us his body and blood for the first time. And so the Eucharist, the altar, the Mass, is the place toward which Jesus, with his love outpouring, seeks to lead us so that he can encounter us and guide us all the way from this point forward. This is the place in which we learn how to love him with precedence, with piety, with passion, with praise, and with purity. This is where he seeks to make our hearts like unto his. On this Feast of the Sacred Heart, as our pilgrimage to Rome nears its end, let's commit ourselves to following the lead of the Good Shepherd's Sacred Heart, to receive his mercy, and to go out and bring his mercy to the peripheries. Let us likewise commit ourselves to praying for each other, to continue this journey with us on the pilgrimage with Jesus to the eternal verdant pastures where he seeks to make our chalice overflow forever. O Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Amen.